Welcome to the OKC First podcast.
Together, we're learning to do three things.
Friendship with God.
Friendship with one another.
And open friendship for the sake of the world.
For more information about OKC First,
please visit OKCFirst.com.
Today's scripture comes from the book of Acts, chapter 11, verses 17 through 18. If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God? When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life. This is the word of the Lord.
You may be seated. Thank you, everybody. This is more of a glorified introduction to the message that we will hear from our kids today. I did want to start off, though, by dispelling a rumor. I was never in the running to be elected Pope. Amen. They returned my application. It was not something about too many tickets and not being Catholic. But I am very interested to see how this Pope will behave. I was very interested in his name choice, Pope Leo. So their names that they choose, their ministry names, let's call them, tell us something about how they intend to serve. And Pope Leo, that tells us a couple of things. One, Leo will be a scholar. He does not shy away from being a theologian or a scholar. It also means that he will be on the side, vocally on the side of the oppressed. I like all of that. Then there is some thought, too, that he will continue some of the reforms, now that's an interesting word, that were instituted by Pope Francis. Reforms. The Catholic Church needs to be reformed. I would submit that all kinds of churches, maybe even OKC First, needs to be reformed. And here's another word that I would use for it, because I see it often in the book of Acts, converted. Converted. It's not just individuals who are converted. Sometimes it's whole groups of people that are converted. And I would submit to you that as your pastor, I want to make sure that we are always open to the next round of conversion. And all God's people said. And every time we are converted, we are going to be converted toward Christ-likeness. Christ-likeness. Now, there was a movie last year, sort of ironically, called Conclave. Anybody seen it? It was a fantastic movie. And the conclave is sort of that system, that process whereby a new pope is elected. And this movie, it may not sound like it would be a very interesting or compelling movie, but I was on the edge of my seat, but there was a whole lot of drama. And there was a quote here toward the end. They had had a contentious election process, and there was division and vitriol. And then this particular character got up and said these particular things.
Let me speak from the heart for a moment. St. Paul said, be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ, to work together, to grow together. We must be tolerant, no one person or faction seeking to dominate another. And speaking to the Ephesians, who were, of course, a mixture of Jews and Gentiles, Paul reminds us that God's gift to the church is its variety. It is this variety, this diversity of people and views, which gives our church its strength. And over the course of many years in the service of our mother, the church, let me tell you, there is one sin which I have come to fear above all others. Certainty. Certainty is the great enemy of unity. Certainty is the deadly enemy of tolerance. Even Christ was not certain at the end. Dio mio, perché mi hai abbandonato? He cried out in his agony at the ninth hour on the cross. Our faith is a living thing precisely because it walks hand in hand with doubt. If there was only certainty and no doubt, there would be no mystery, and therefore no need for faith. Let us pray that God will grant us a pope who doubts, and let him grant us a pope who sins and asks for forgiveness and who carries on.
Oh, I love that. Does everybody know that a pope derives his authority from St. Peter? Everybody understand that? That's the way that works, from St. Peter. And we have a story here from Acts chapter 11 in which St. Peter is trying to lead faithfully, trying to lead faithfully. Now, let me tell you a little bit about what's going on before I get back to the verses that Jason read, and I'm going to be gone, I'm going to be done and gone off the platform here pretty shortly. Peter was called on the carpet for crossing the line. In fact, he had crossed lots of lines, but to be fair, it wasn't so much Peter as much as it was God, the resurrected Christ, who was taking an eraser to every single line that the early church seemed to want to draw. The Samaritans were welcomed in. An Ethiopian eunuch, for heaven's sake, was welcomed in. A sworn enemy of the church, Saul, was tracked down and welcomed in. And a Gentile Roman soldier and his family, Cornelius, they were all welcomed in. But it was Peter who had to answer for this behavior. He was meeting with Gentiles. In fact, he was eating with Gentiles, baptizing them into the church. Who do you think you are, Peter, to change all of these rules? Now you're going to have to explain yourself before the bosses. Verse 4 in chapter 11. So Peter began to explain it to them step by step, saying, I was in the city of Joppa, and in a trance I saw a vision. We talked about this. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. And as I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, birds of the air. You should not touch these, young Peter. Every good Jewish person knows that you are not allowed to touch these. Verse 7. I also heard a voice saying to me, get up, Peter, kill and eat. But I replied, by no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth. But a second time the voice answered from heaven, what God has called clean, you must not call profane. This happened three times, and everything was pulled up again to heaven. And at that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were, and the Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. What if, in your religious fervor, you understood that you were to not make distinctions between them and us, as opposed to making distinctions between them and us? Just consider it. Verse 15 now. As I began to speak, he's telling the story now about his encounter with Cornelius and his household. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, this is just what Jesus said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And that's when he says, if then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God? And when they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, I think, shrugging their shoulders, well, then God has given even to these Gentiles the repentance that leads to life. Friends, this is not just a reform. This is a converting moment. The church got a little bit more converted toward Christ-likeness in this moment. One of my favorite commentators by the name of Will Willimon said this about conversion. Conversions in the book of Acts are stories about beginnings. About beginnings. Not the end of a chapter, but a beginning. And he also says this, a church which has no quarrel with Caesar's definition of peace and justice, a church enabled by its culturally accommodated preachers to lessen the gap between the gospel and the status quo, has no need to preach conversion. But if the church hopes for more, for a new heaven and a new earth, for people who know the cost of discipleship and are willing to pay, then, as Hans Küng, another theologian, says, we are not to shut ourselves off from the world, but in a spirit of asceticism in a spirit of asceticism, but to live in an everyday world inspired by the radical obedience that is demanded by the love of God. The church must be reformed again and again, converted again and again each day in order that it may fulfill its task. OKC First, are we open to being converted again? And then again and again toward Christ-likeness, which will mean unity in the midst of diversity. Everybody, as we are converted, as this becomes more and more the tangible expression of Christ in the world that Paul calls the body of Christ, as we are converted toward Christ-likeness, it will result in a unity across diversity. Make some sense? Guess what our kids are going to talk to us about today? Unity. There are some Greek words, and Lisa's going to tell you more about this than I will be able to right now. But they're going to preach the longer message today, but it's the same message. It is this. If we are the body of Christ, and if we are going to be the body of Christ, it will mean that we will look more like Christ, especially as it has to do with unity across diversity.